From PRX and Transom, I'm Rob Rosenthal, and this is How Sound, the backstory to great audio storytelling. You know how the scouts have merit badges? Like if a scout fulfills a few requirements, they earn a little sew-on patch, like for canoeing or insect study. Scouts even have a radio merit badge, which tickles my heart. But the requirements look like they were written by Marconi back in the 1920s. Here's one of the things the kids have to do. Explain the difference between broadcast radio and hobby radio. Here's another requirement. Explain the phonetic alphabet and how it's used to communicate clearly. You know, like Bravo for B or X-ray for X. Well, I think How Sound needs its own merit badge, one for reporters and producers who just stretch above and beyond for a story. And if I ever devise one, I'll definitely present it to Lauren Chulgen. Wait until you hear what she went through to get the tape for an audio diary she produced. Lauren is a reporter at New Hampshire Public Radio, and the story is about Peter and Dottie Miller. They're an elderly couple navigating the pandemic, and trust me, they've earned a merit badge too. Let's start with an excerpt from the story, which on the face of it, sounds like it was no big thing for Lauren to record.
April 20th. My name is Peter Miller. I am 77 years old. The administrator of my nursing home knows that I like to write and suggested that I keep a record of my thoughts and feelings about the coronavirus pandemic and a journal. So that is what I've commenced today. I want to try to describe what it's like in my nursing home right now. Residents have not been allowed to have any visitors. We have been quarantined in our rooms for the whole 2 months with no one but staff and our roommates to interact with. Can't management see that residents need more than nonstop TV to sustain their will to live? My roommate just sits in his armchair all day long, listlessly watching the same TV channel. Is it okay to kill people with nothingness if that's what it takes to protect them from coronavirus? April 27th. The lone exception to the no-visitor rule is that a resident can have the loved ones present while he is dying. My wife Dottie and I have shared our feelings about this. I told her that I would prefer she not be present while I am dying. I don't want her last memory of me to be how I looked when I was near death, and I don't want her to expose herself to the virus.
That's the first 2 minutes of Lauren's piece called Pandemic Diaries, one couple's story of isolation and love in a nursing home. It's pretty ear-catching, right? The whole piece is, so hang tight, we'll hear more. But check out the backstory of how she recorded just that one segment.
There were so many, you know, pandemic logistical hurdles. He's in a nursing home. I can't get there.
That's Lauren, and she can't get there because of the obvious. Peter's older and more at risk for COVID, and the nursing home is locked down. No visitors. Okay, so in that case, you would probably just record by phone, right? Well, not so fast. Peter suffers from a lot of health problems.
He's only in his wheelchair, out of bed for a couple hours a day. Those are the only hours he's using his phone. He's really not able to use his phone while laying down in bed. So there are only a couple hours a day I can communicate with him.
And then there's the roommate.
His roommate is constantly watching TV at like the top volume all day.
The last hurdle for Lauren might be the most surprising and difficult. Peter is deaf. He can't hear. The only way Lauren could communicate with him was by text and email. No talking. So how'd she untie all these knots? Well, first, she had Peter send his journal via email.
What I did was I picked excerpts of his journal, and I basically made a draft, like a rough draft of like Peter excerpts that could be good in the piece. And I asked Peter if it would be okay if I, you know, edited them down a little bit. And he was like, I figured you would do that. That's fine. And so I went through, I edited them down, and I emailed them to him. And I said, I think if I FaceTime you and you read these, I think we could pull it off. And he was like, all right, then I'm going to try and figure out a way for someone to put me into a quieter room. So while he worked, he was like, and could I have a print copy? I'm like, oh my God.
Okay, so Peter will reserve a quiet room while Lauren edits the journal and has it printed and delivered. But when it's time for them to connect via FaceTime and record Peter's reading of the journal, how will Lauren communicate with Peter? Texting would be much too cumbersome. Answer, a whiteboard. Lauren learned from Peter's wife that she uses a whiteboard to talk to Peter. She writes on the board. He responds verbally. Lauren figured, why not do the same thing? So that's what she did on the day they recorded.
When he first called me, I had already written on my whiteboard, hi, Peter, like, thank you so much for doing this. I want you to read each one 3 times. And I reminded him it was really important to say that each date clearly, because I was kind of already hearing the piece in my head and thinking that, like, we were going to need some sort of, like, time peg somewhere. And I knew that saying those dates was going to be helpful. So he's like, okay, Lauren, you want me to read them each a couple times? That's a good idea. And then he was so cute afterward. He goes, I think the 3rd time was better. It's like, that happens. Like, and, I realized that the dates he really read as like that they didn't sound like he was talking, which of course, like, this is like a totally new experience for him. So then I had him read every date individually. But then afterward, he said, I think you found your calling, Lauren.
May 26th. Yesterday, I watched one of my favorite movies, The Best Years of Our Lives, filmed after the Second World War ended. The movie portrays the difficulties soldiers experienced as they tried to readjust to civilian life. I liked the realism, particularly the awkwardness the men and their wives displayed as they tried to rekindle their romantic feelings. The film made me wonder how it will feel for me and Dottie when we are able to be together again. Will we experience an awkward readjustment? I miss Dottie's proximity and her affectionate touch. I feel so alone here sometimes.
Ah, yes, Dottie, Peter's wife. There is a whole other side to this story. It's quite possible Lauren may deserve 2 merit badges. Check this out. Lauren found Peter and Dottie through an online listener survey at New Hampshire Public Radio. Lauren combed through those surveys looking for story ideas.
And Dottie had written us and said, my husband's in a nursing home and he's not in great health. I'm really worried about him. And I was like, oh, well, I wonder, you know, in New Hampshire, nursing homes are, you know, a huge part of our, you know, COVID crisis. I mean, 80% of deaths, COVID-related deaths in New Hampshire are linked to nursing homes or residential care facilities. So I figured this would be a good place to start.
She reached out to Dottie and started recording phone interviews with her. That went well. But as they progressed, Lauren realized she needed scene tape, some action to help move the story along.
So I asked her, you know, like, how familiar are you with your iPhone and, what's your technology level of, like, knowledge? And she is just a really brilliant woman and was down to try anything. So I made a video for her, which I'm sure a lot of producers have done this, where I, like, took a screenshot, basically video of my phone and showed her now to navigate, like, you know, search for voice memos and click voice memos and was like, here's how you use voice memos. Would be great if we had some you know, audio of you just living your life. And so our first trial run, she just sent me like, hi, this is Dottie. And, you know, this is what's going on with me today. And that was maybe a minute long. And she told me how that went and how she was worried about, she uses a walker. So how is she going to hold the phone and record and use the walker? So we talked about, you know, maybe leave the phone on the walker and try to do a longer recording and see how that goes. And I remember one Saturday, I got this text from her, and it was this, like, you know, 20-minute voice memo of her cooking breakfast. And I thought, oh, man, this is awesome.
Well, it's a lovely morning, a little chilly the way I like it, and I'm going to make some scrambled eggs for me and the dogs. I'm glad that I like to be at home alone, because otherwise I don't know what I would do. I felt really guilty that I couldn't take care of him by myself. And we had home health aides coming in, and it just wasn't working. I moved through it until the COVID-19 crisis hit and people were dying in nursing homes. And then I rethought. I thought, is there any way he can live at home so he can be safe? And I can't, we don't have the funds for him to live at home. So my guilt came back, because I know if he lives at home, he's safer, but I'm stuck, you know, not being able to provide that for him. I think it's grief. I think I'm grieving.
Lauren says she knew she had a story on her hands, but she couldn't discern what the focus was going to be. And her tendency as a news reporter is just to get some tape, get some good tape, and put a story on the air. But in this case, she said she had to really train herself to take her time, go slow, wait. Something will come along to coalesce the story, she thought.
So I had been talking to her for, you know, once or twice a week, and texting Peter. And he had been sending me his journals, and I was gathering a lot of string from them, still not quite sure what the story was going to sound like. And one morning I woke up, and Dottie always texts me at like 5 a.m. and she said, "Hi, Lauren, I know you're not doing the story anymore, but I think I'm going to see Peter." And I was like, "What do you mean? What do you mean I'm not doing the story anymore? Like, what?" Like, and also, what do you mean you're going to see Peter? And I texted her like, "Can you get on the phone right now?"
They got on the phone, and Lauren learned Peter had a doctor's appointment outside the nursing home. Dottie was going too. That's where they would reunite after 3 months of separation. Lauren considered going up to record them coming together after such a long time, but that would be a real health risk, and Lauren hadn't been tested.
I also really worried about interrupting the moment. You know, they both had told me they really enjoyed talking to me and were excited to talk to me. And I worried that their enthusiasm of, Lauren's here, this new person and has all this equipment, I was worried that would interrupt the intimacy of the moment. And so in the end, I decided after much agonizing that I wasn't going to be there. And the only way it was going to work is if Dottie recorded it herself. You know, there are, of course, things I would have captured that maybe she missed. But I also believe strongly that I never would have gotten the tape that she got, because it's just the two of them.
You look so nice.
I dressed up for our date.
I love your show. 3 whole months, can you believe it?
It's been so long.
This is wonderful.
It is.
So we went down to the doctor's office, and they put us in a room where the doctor was, and we told him that we hadn't seen each other for 3 months. So after his appointment, the doctor was so cute. He was like, "We can just put you in an exam room, and you're still in being examined." I was like, "Oh, that would be so wonderful. Thank you."
I'm gonna leave my mask up.
Who cares?
You think I should put it back in?
No.
It's okay like this.
Yeah. I love you, honey.
It shouldn't be that difficult to make this happen periodically. Well, I'll work on it. Oh, what is that?
Cheddar Swiss.
Mmm. Good thinking. Maybe I'll wheel forward a bit so we can touch.
Okay, let's hold hands. How's that? Your hands are so soft.
I better soak it up.
Me too.
Well, you have a lovely smile.
Oh.
I hope I do too.
You do.
I'm glad you're holding up well.
I am.
I know it hasn't been easy for you either.
No, it hasn't. Do you want to kiss? Let's kiss.
Aren't we naughty? Don't tell anybody we did that.
It's on the back. It's on the tape.
Just to, you know, to think that for 25 years we've been together. We've been together, you know, except for a couple weeks here and there, we've been together. And so to be apart for 3 months, I mean, even though he's living in the nursing home, we were together every day, 7 days a week, twice a day. So it gave me a taste for what it's going to be like when he dies. If he dies before me, but he's older than I am, and his health is more compromised than mine. So it gave me a taste of that. I realized that as I was alone.
May 5th. I have been doing some end of life reflecting. Dottie and I are planning to meet in the afterlife. Years ago, she wanted to be reincarnated as a hawk. That inspired me to write a love poem for her titled Hawks, way back in 1995, the second year of our marriage. Waking again, that glorious feeling, morning light, shimmering and sealing, a swift north wind disturbing autumn's leaves, the bedroom curtains swaying in the breeze. Well, my bride, my lover, what do you say? Shall we meet on that mountaintop today? Hawks will be gliding south in graceful sweeps, and you and I have promises to keep.
Lauren Chulgen produced that story for New Hampshire Public Radio. You should check out Lauren's other work, including the podcast Stranglehold. It's an in-depth story about the New Hampshire presidential primary. Links are at this post for HowSound at transom.org. There was a lot of phone tape in that story. If you need a primer on recording by phone during the pandemic, or anytime really, you gotta check out Jeff Towns' tools column at Transom. The article Jeff wrote is insanely comprehensive. He covers smartphone apps, Bluetooth, tape a call, Zoom. I mean, Jeff crushed it. Recording cell phone calls. It's all at transom.org. House Sound is co-produced by PRX and Transom. Thanks to Justine Paradise, who first told me about Lauren's reporting. Thanks also to John Barth at PRX and the Transom crew. Jay Allison, Vicky Merrick, Sid Lewis, Sam Brown, and Jennifer Jarrett. Up in my attic in Woods Hole, Massachusetts, the radio center of the universe, I'm Rob Rosenthal. Thanks for listening.
From PRX. And transom.org.